This is The Bookshelf from NHPR. I'm Peter Biello. Interviewing is an art. A good interviewer has to listen carefully, keep the conversation on track, and make sure the interviewee is answering the question as clearly as possible. In her new book, Sparks from the Anvil, Christian McEwan offers 16 interviews with notable poets who are masters or rising stars in their craft. She joins me now to talk about these interviews. Christian, welcome to The Bookshelf.
Thank you so much.
Let's start with the interview you conducted with Maxine Cumin, the former New Hampshire Poet Laureate. In all these interviews, you dug into the poets' lives and tried to figure out what brought them to poetry. So what did you find out about Maxine Cumin?
She wrote her first poem at the age of 8. And she was a child who was a bookworm, who read deeply, who wrote privately. And then she went to college, and her tutor was Wallace Stegner, and he told her she couldn't write poems.
Wallace Stegner, the novelist.
The novelist. And she ceased to write poems for 7 years. And then, as famously people know, she went to, I think, Boston University and became friends with Anne Sexton, and they became tremendous support to each other.
Especially since they were both women in a field dominated by men at the time.
Yeah. Married with young children. They had a dedicated telephone line. They could pick up the phone and talk to each other at any time of day or night. So, listen, I've just finished a poem, and they would speak.
And that was effective for them.
That was very effective for them. I mean, she mourned Sexton, I think, all her life. She wrote some marvelous elegies after she died, after she committed suicide, Sexton.
You interviewed a lot of poets for this book, not just Maxine Cumin, and they all had sort of different paths, but they came from diverse backgrounds. I mean, you've got Yusuf Kumanyaka, you've got the Dickman brothers, you've got Chase Twitchell, many others. Do they all seem to have something in common?
There were various threads that appeared over time. It was clear to me that most of them were bookish children. Most of them were solitaries. They had parents or grandparents or teachers who read to them, so they found books fairly early. Quite a number of them turned out to be walkers. They liked to take time to go out into nature and to walk. An unusual proportion, perhaps, were Buddhists, at least of those I spoke with. But in the end, each person finds his or her own path with poetry.
That Buddhist part's interesting. Was that just a coincidence, or?
Well, I suppose it's partly that I myself am a practicing Buddhist, so I had an ear alert to that. But there's also a quality of attention that Buddhist meditation asks of you that is very easily transferable to the act of attention that goes into making a poem.
And that brings up an issue that I struggle with sometimes as an interviewer. I mean, you mentioned that you hear the Buddhism because you practice it. So to what extent do you sort of monitor how much of yourself you're bringing into the interview? And is there an effort on your part to sort of keep yourself out and keep in mind whoever may be listening to the interview in question?
I guess I start out by intending to be neutral and to let the person flourish, in a sense, against the blank wall of my attention. But inevitably, when there are places of overlap, when we have friends in common, when we have passions for particular poets in common, themes that recur in my life and in the poet's life, sometimes mentioning that, not enormously, but just a touch, creates a bridge that makes for a more interesting interview.
You often ask these poets what advice they would give to aspiring poets.
The reason I asked that question was because I was conducting the interviews at Smith. And the subtitle of the book is Sparks from the Anvil, the Smith College Poetry Interviews. So I was aware that the first listeners and readers of the interviews would be college students and young poets in training. I wanted them to be encouraged by whatever it was that the poet had to say. So again and again, the poets would say some version of, don't be afraid. Allow yourself to be influenced. Allow yourself to write badly. Allow yourself to follow your passion. In some ways, allow yourself to make a mess so that you can have enough from which to make order.
Mm-hmm. And perhaps don't listen to your professors who say, don't write poetry.
Exactly, yeah, the Wallace Stegners. I mean, I hate to think of, I love Wallace Stegner's work, but I hate to think of the influence he had on Maxine Cumin all those years ago.
The book is called Sparks from the Anvil, those sparks being those little bits of wisdom that are sort of the byproduct of the poet's hammering out of a poem. Do you have a favorite spark?
I want to read a passage, really, more than a spark. This is a whole flaming log from W.S. Merwin. When students ask, what should I be guided by in reading? I say, well, pleasure in the first place. You have to like it. Read the things you like. And then listen to them and go on listening. Listening to language. Listening to poems. The only way you're ever going to get close to poems is by listening, not by getting very clever and reading a lot of criticism. That won't get you anywhere at all. It makes you sound very clever and it maybe gets you good marks. But it's not getting close to poetry. It's not what it's about. I think that listening is where it all begins, where it all comes from. The origins of language and the origins of poetry come from hearing something, not from understanding something.
Why did that one speak to you?
I think that people listen less well nowadays because of all the little gizmos that are so attractive to us. The little earbuds, the little cell phones, the little this pieces of expensive plastic. And that in order to write a poem, you need to listen inside, inward, and you need to listen outward. You need to listen to the sounds of the world, the sounds of the voices of the people who matter to you. But most you need just to be open. And I think for me, listening is a synonym for attention, for receptivity.
Well, Christian McEwen, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. What a pleasure.
That's Christian McEwen, editor of the new collection of interviews, Sparks from the Anvil, which features interviews with poets conducted at Smith College. Christian will be reading tomorrow at the Brattleboro Literary Festival, and you can find a link to that at nhpr.org, which is also where you can find a list of Christian McEwen's top five book recommendations. And we've been hearing from listeners like you about the books on their bookshelves. Kathy from Francistown wrote in to recommend Standing on the Sun by Mark McDonald. It's the story of a young boy who uncovers a jihadist plot against America's heartland. She writes, "This book is such a fun read, full of humor and intrigue. The characters are so well-rounded and the plot is absolutely believable. What a timely read." Well, we are always looking for timely and timeless reads, so if you're reading something worth recommending to your fellow book lovers, send the recommendation my way. Our email address is books@nhpr.org. We look forward to hearing from you. This is The Bookshelf from NHPR. I'm Peter Biello. Thank you very much for listening.